FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is October 8th, 2016. So we've just gone through this hurricane in Florida. I'm traveling out of the country, but hey, we're always looking for new guests, give you new understandings as to what's happening in these markets and why, and what you can do about it to get prepared for what could be very interesting, as the Chinese would say, or as the Americans would say, very troubling times ahead. A person I've come to know quite well over the past several months, someone who really gets it, David Fisher. He's CEO of Landmark Capital. And David, welcome to the show.
Kerry, it's my honor and pleasure being on your show and being able to communicate with you and your listeners.
Right, so we've just gone through a period of time. Gold's taken it on the chin for a change. Happened very quickly, very violently over the course of 3 or 4 days. What do you make of it?
You know, there's a lot of people trying to figure that one out right now. Some people are saying it's from the recent government reports that have come out. But the majority are saying it's because of what's happening with Deutsche Bank. At least that's the speculation. But there's nothing that's confirming any of this. And what I'm referring to is Deutsche Bank was in severe trouble and really still is. But they were getting ready to have a run on their bank, and they're cash strapped. They only have about $6.1 billion to pay the settlement of the $14.1 billion liability fee or liability lawsuit against them from the Department of Justice. So Deutsche Bank needed to sell some assets, and word on the street has it that they took and sold some physical gold in the bank vaults, and that's what started and maybe even made this big downturn happen in gold here recently.
Wouldn't it have been interesting if they sold the physical and bought the paper on the downturn, so they're in a position, I guess, to reverse out of it? I mean, they knew they were going to perhaps disrupt the market, so they were in a position to cash in on that information. And they've been known to do this before, haven't they?
Well, that's what also got them in trouble, too, in lawsuits. They did the LIBOR arm, the London fixed interest rates. They did that in that, manipulated and bought shorts on the market. So I wouldn't be surprised if they either tried to do that or did that in reference to their selling of their own metal, that they're cashing on the flip side of it. So they're raising money two ways, not just the selling of the metals, but the predicting of what the impact of the sale of the metals would have on the market and putting a short on it. So again, it's not confirmed. It looks like it's, I don't know if it's going to come out in the news or not, something like this. It would just be more black eyes for them.
Yeah, or if they never really sold it and just sold it short. Anything with these guys is possible. I mean, we've seen them do it over and over again during the years. They're no different than any of the big American banks or the British banks. I mean, they keep getting caught committing numerous crimes.
Well, maybe who knows? Maybe they didn't even have the gold. Maybe they sold the gold after leasing it out. You know, welcome to what probably is really going on in Fort Knox. So, you know, there's that aspect too of it. So who knows? But either way, I think what's going on in the gold market is just a short-term downward movement. The fundamentals are there, certainly for higher prices in gold. We were up about 25% year-to-date. Now we're up about 21% year-to-date in gold and silver. A little bit more than that. But I think next year, I don't know if we're going to have any much more uptick, you know, as far as anything major, maybe 3 or 4 or 5% on the high end in gold and silver this year. I'm not a guy who makes these outlandish types of predictions. In January of this year, I made a prediction that gold is going to move 15 to 30%. I'm right in that realm. And I think we're going to stay in that realm and end the year with that. I think next year will be something similar, but the third year from now, I think we're going to have a very big movement in gold because there's going to be so much massive uncertainty that's built up where we, you know, get past an election, a first year in president's term, and then the reality is going to hit the road where the debt has soared, they can't manage it. It's going to cause a lot of movement in gold.
Well, one good thing, if Trump gets elected, he is an expert in using bankruptcy.
Well, that would cause gold to go up. And he has alluded that he would, at the very minimum, negotiate the debt, which is really a subtle form of bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, it's been done before in various other guises. So what he's proposing, even though the press made it out to be this horrible, horrible thing, really, let's face it, we could go back to 1934 and the revaluation of gold or the devaluation of the dollar back to back to the closing of the gold window. I mean, there's been numerous instances in American history where the dollar has been reevaluated against or revalued against gold.
You know, I certainly like his plan much better than Hillary's plan. I will say that.
Well, the final plan, there's going to have to be a plan. It's going to have to be dealt with. Or like you've said in the past, the market's going to deal with it.
And that'd be the plan is we have no plan, or the plan can't implement what we want because we have a gridlock in Congress, and then the market will deal with the real plan. They will force the plan. That is what we don't want to happen when the markets dictate the plan that because of lack of leadership, lack of commitment and an agreement. That will make that plan the worst of all three plans.
Yeah, and it will be the fastest and perhaps most efficient plan from that standpoint, but it will be the most painful plan with no adjustment period, no period to recognize what's going to happen, no warning shot is going to be fired. It's just going to be implemented, and that's it.
I agree with you. Once that starts to unravel, it's hard to contain it and keep it under wrap.
Yeah. So you think 17 and 18, definitely bullish years for gold, kind of resuming the bullish trend, and probably it's going to bring silver along with it, don't you think?
I think silver is going to, percentage-wise, outperform gold, but it's going to have, like what's happening in the market right now, we're going to have bigger downtick days and bigger uptick days in silver than in gold, because it's so much more of a industrial play metal that is this redheaded stepchild that drags itself on the coattails of gold. Therefore, there's a lot more volatility to it. So, you know, we offer all of the markets. It doesn't matter to us, but we just help people understand the differences between the two. So I think silver will, percentage-wise, outperform gold.
And what of the financial system? I mean, put Deutsche Bank aside. Assume that they bring out the bailing wire, the chewing gum, the bobby pins, whatever, and it limps through. They figure out a way to keep it going. All right. But the financial system still is in, if not dire straits, it's in extremely weakened state. There's really no saving it at this point.
You can't have a healthy economy in a low interest rate or negative interest rate environment. It's impossible. You can't have your bonds grow enough, and most pensions derive their money from bonds. So that's affecting the pensions. The stock market is only moving because of the injection of capital. So imagine what we would have had if we would have had a low interest rate environment but no increase of capital the last 8 years. We wouldn't have had a stock market boom or rally like we've had. So, you know, one reason it's in dire straits is the Fed is manipulating it. I mean, the Fed is influencing the markets, positive and negative, and they're creating these bubbles, and one or many are going to pop. So we're well beyond the servicing of the debt on a global level. And this is the warning that the IMF is giving, saying it's unmanageable now. And the problem is that we're in the whole, everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, and it's every country in the world, the debt, public, private, out of control, growing geometrically, and a refusal of the powers that be, whether it's the politicians or whomever is running the show, to acknowledge that the debt's got to be reined in, plans got to be created to deal with it, and otherwise we're looking at global bankruptcy, aren't we? Global financial crash.
You know, we've probably shifted the debt on personal levels from real estate to credit cards since 2007. So that's happened, but the government has shifted in their debt. I mean, look at our country. It's gone up $10 trillion, doubled in the last 8 years. So we're going to have a global day of reckoning. It's just there's no way around it. You cannot get out of debt by going into debt. It is a fundamental issue of going against simple economics.
Yeah. So where do you see this winding up here, David? I mean, there's not many options down the road. There's not many choices, are there?
Well, you know, the first choice is the obvious choice, where they want to let the air out of the balloon slowly. And that's what they're trying to do right now, keeping rates artificially low. But while they're doing that, they're creating another bubble. So eventually, it's like the person who's juggling balls. The Fed can't juggle all these balls because a couple of them are working against each other. Low interest rate environment is supposed to stimulate the economy, but yet it creates more debt. Low interest rate is supposed to help the consumer have a lower monthly payment in his home, but at the same point, it doesn't give enough movement upward in pensions that gather most of their revenue from bonds. And that doesn't work well in a low interest rate environment. So here we have, because of this low interest rate environment, Kerry, we have two diametrically opposing forces, and it's like the good dog versus the bad dog, and one of them is going to kill the other. And when that happens, there's going to be blood in the market, so to speak. I don't mean to be graphic, but it's not going to be a pretty thing because it's systemic. It's going to unravel this time, and we're just prolonging the problem. Here's what the Fed should do. They should step aside. They should raise rates. If they can't raise the rate a quarter of a point, that should be a signal to all of us how so ridiculously unstable the global economy is, just because they can't even raise it a quarter of a point. And they are supposed to raise it four times this year. I'm getting passionate because it angers me that the Fed won't step aside and do the right thing. When I say step aside, I mean stop from the insanity of having almost zero interest rates. Just call it zero. It's a quarter of a point where it's been for 10 years. So the Fed needs to raise rates, in my opinion. They need to get back to normalcy. They need to stop this huge quantitative easing, printing $5 trillion. They need to stop those things. But the Fed is not going to do that. The Fed is going to go the other direction. In fact, they're talking about it. And I think maybe they've already been doing it. They're just letting the cat out of the bag, or they're coming out of the closet. The Fed, you're going to see, is going to go the other direction. They're going to start purchasing bonds, yeah, corporate bonds, and stocks.
Hey, so let's get the rates higher. Let's finally split these banks up. They got to be, I mean, because the banks are going to go crashing anyway. Let's be a little proactive before they go bombing and split them up. Go back to boring commercial banks, banks that just take deposits, make commercial loans, and like pay checks, you know, cash checks, process checks. I mean, what is wrong with that? And then let the gamblers have their own company, but be split off from the banks. And let's do that proactively rather than waiting for the next crash, because the next crash, you know, is coming. I mean, you pretty much laid out a meticulous case for why it's going to happen. And the low interest rate environment is deadly. You know, if you can't make 5% on your passbook time savings, you can't retire. I mean, you just cannot retire in America. It's really that simple, because no amount of savings is enough for the middle class to ever retire. They can't do it. There's no more pensions left, right? The pensions are gone. Defined benefit pensions don't exist. You got 401ks. You can't make enough on that. So you can never retire. Not that you necessarily should want to retire totally, but at least slow down, do something, you know, cut back on your revenue generating activities. So they put the country in a real bind here in an effort to try to bail out the bankers. So what about the concept of cutting taxes way, way back, upping the interest rates? So you generate more income and and then the income that you do have, you can actually make a return on and keep more of. Isn't that a better idea than this low interest rate thing where it encourages you to go into debt to maintain a standard of living?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, one of my white papers talks specifically about that, ways of getting out of this financial mess. One is defaulting on it. I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
Two is cutting spending and raising taxes. I don't like higher taxes. I certainly think we should cut spending. And if we cut spending and allow growth in America, I'm a free enterprise kind of guy. If we allow growth in America and we put Americans back to work with good quality jobs, taxes will take care of themselves by the cutting of the spending and the increase of revenue from taxes on wages. That's how you grow your economy, mm-hmm. not the way that it's been happening the last 8 years. You know, there's this report that came out that jobs have been coming back. Well, what it's alluding to, yeah, there's been a recovery. But the reality is we've lost good quality paying jobs, and we've substituted that one really good qualified and good quality paying job with three part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we've tripled or at least doubled the jobs in the last several years. And that's what President Obama is boasting about. But the quality of those jobs has gone down significantly. So it's once again a falsified impression of really where America is at.
Yeah. And so much of the money that's spent by the government is wasted, be it on defense or social programs, you name it, whatever they're doing, they're wasting a substantial portion. Cut back on the taxes, cut back on the spending, and really just get out of the way. I mean, the whole Obamacare thing has been major deflationary because it's taking money out of the economy because you're spending three times more on your health insurance than you used to spend. And where's that money going? It's not producing anything more. We're still getting the same or inferior health insurance than we got before. We're just paying three times more for it. Anyway, David, you mentioned your white papers. You've got a couple of white papers available.
Yeah, one is specifically on what we talk about, some of the fundamentals that we're talking right now is in one of my white papers. It's called the Coming Bail-In, and I referred to at the beginning of it on how to fix the economy and get out of this debt structure. The biggest unfortunate plan that our administration has been moving towards and passed laws for is how to seize people's money, which has happened in foreign countries, 14 of them, in the last 6 years. So this explains that, what our country has done in passing laws. And a white paper that complements that is how to take physical possession of your metals in your IRA is easy as 1, 2, 3 without a tax implication. That goes in depth on how you can roll over your IRA, your 401k, buy physical metals, take possession of them without a tax liability. You heard me what I'm saying. And just as a side note, in the 23 years I've been doing this, I've done thousands of retirements, done a lot of what you call self-directed IRAs the last 6 years. And the fee structure that a lawyer that we've used, that the client would hire, is significantly less than what I found in research in my competitors. Somewhere around the lawyer fees and the financial structure is somewhere between $995 to $1,995 for the setup of it. This is out of state of Arizona, $385. So wow. And he does it in 2 or 3 days. So it's very cost effective. Gets the metals in your hand, you're safe from this bail-in, you're safe against inflation, currency devaluation, covers a lot of bases.
It's remarkable. If you want to get it, how would you get it, David, these white papers?
They can call our company at 877-448-2646. I'll say it again real slow, 877-448-2646, or they can go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
All right. And in the show notes to this interview, we will have a link to the website to Landmark Gold, as always. And while you're at it, take a look at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We've revamped the site, got a lot more material in there. And hey, send me an email. If you've got any questions for David, kl@carrylutz.com. That's kl@carrylutz.com. David, we will talk to you again another time. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on your show, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.